For dads across the country, this Sunday is their moment in the sun. It's Father's Day. A few years ago, NBC's Tim Russert wrote a book about his dad called Big Russ and Me. Readers were inspired to write back to him with stories about their own fathers, and it wasn't just a few. 60,000 people shared their stories. Those letters and emails became part of the best-selling Wisdom of Our Fathers, Lessons and Letters from Daughters and Sons, which is now available in paperback. Tim, good morning to you. And you were saying to me in the break how this has so changed your life. Your first book affected so many people, and their response to it has really affected you as well.
It's a journey I never anticipated or expected. I couldn't believe how the story about my dad resonated all across the country. I live in a political environment in Washington, and suddenly Democrats, Republicans, Independents, Liberals, Conservatives, Moderates, they wanted to stop and talk about their dad. It was as if I had just opened the door and let them walk through. And all the stories, Meredith, were about not material goods, but a moment, something their father said or did. One gentleman from South Carolina said, "My dad didn't preach a sermon, he lived a sermon." And I began to look at my own dad differently. My son looked at me differently. My father was never demonstrative or outgoing in terms of his words or expressions, and that's all changed. I now get rib-crushing bear hugs
from Dad, yeah.
And even an uttering of, "I love you," and I say, "What did you say? You heard me."
But it's, we said 60,000 letters and emails. I want to touch on a couple of them this morning. The first one that we're going to focus on is a letter you got from a man. I want to make sure I get his name right. Ray Passacatando from New Jersey.
Yes.
Tell me about Ray.
It's a wonderful Italian name, and it means passes by singing.
Oh,
and his dad, Alfonso, was a bricklayer, a mason. And Ray goes back to his house to see his dad and thinks of a way of repaying him by cutting his dad's hair. And here's Ray telling his story.
"Hair's getting shaggy. Can I cut it?" He had given in to letting his mind wander into gazing off. He turned the wine glass slowly. He wasn't wearing his hearing aid. He never did. "Can I give you a haircut?" I offer again, louder. As though startled by my presence, although we'd been together in his kitchen for the last hour, he turns to me. "No, what for? I go no place. Maybe you'll get a date." I run the narrow, tapered end of the comb through his eyebrows and clip off white thatches that stand up like picture wire. I snip the short, softer hair on the edges of his ears. I bend an ear forward to get at a follicle. He grimaces. But I know there is no pain. He loves me to cut his hair. At ease, content, he settles back in the warmth of soft, gentle stroking. His face is in my hands. He looks at me through eyes hollow and clouded. "Gotta go. See you next week." "Huh? What?" His forehead furrows. "Gotta go. Got work. See you next Tuesday." He grabs my hand. His grip is still strong. "Come early," he says. He doesn't see the tears as I turn for the door. "I love you, Raym," I hear him say. It had taken him 50 years to say it, but it wasn't necessary. He had told me many times in many ways.
I can see how this is affecting you just seeing it.
No, it's, you know, men of that generation like Alfonso didn't tell their kids they loved
them.
Your
dad.
And now they do. But it took such an interesting turn. Here's a bricklayer who worked with his hands all his life to support his son and his family. And now his son comes home with his own hands. He cuts his own dad's hair and holds his face and strokes his head. It's the cycle of life.
It's that transition, really. Right?
And it's so powerful, this bond between father and son. And to have written about it and to now understand it, it's been such an honor for me. And to hear that story is just extraordinary for Father's Day.
In some ways, is it your story as well now with your own dad?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I call him every day. He is so funny. He is the cheapest, most expensive focus group you could ever have. I had one of the presidential contenders on the other day, and I said, "What'd you think?" He said, "Oh, he's a good guy, but not for that job." Bingo. Right to the base.
I know someone else like that. I want to go to one more letter. It's actually a little bit more.